It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Folks, Happy New Year. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. You know, last week we had guide Larry Large with us, and we were talking about hunting late-season ducks. Well, Larry also guides very successfully, I should say, some hog hunts. And we're going to pick Larry's brain, and you know I hunt hogs a lot myself. It's a passion of mine. And we're going to see if we can talk some hog hunting and maybe give you a tip or two that'll help you put some pork in the freezer. Larry, thanks for being back with us again, buddy.
Well, I enjoy it every time I get the chance, Luke.
Well, I always get plenty of good feedback when you share your words of wisdom with everybody, Larry, and that's a fact. You know, there's not an official hog hunting season in Texas. People hunt hogs year-round, but gosh, I love to hunt them in the cold weather. From right now through the end of March, even into April, you know, you and I hunt them in the summer too, but it's just something about cold weather and killing hogs and putting the meat in the freezer that both of us like. Now, you've took it to the next level, Larry. During the daylight hours, unless you're hunting a very remote patch of woods that hogs have absolutely no contact with man, it's rare to successfully hunt them during the day. I've killed hogs during the daytime, you have too, but you concentrate your hunts in the evenings, don't you?
Yeah, I do, Luke. My feeders go off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and most of my hunters, the ones that have any kind of patience at all, if I can keep them in that stand till midnight, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night, 90% of the hogs are going to be killed between 9 and midnight.
That's true. And I know I've hunted with you a bunch, too, you know, and a lot of times you will. You'll pop on 7:30, 7 o'clock, or earlier. You know, I think you was in a stand, you were telling me the other day, and had one come at 5 something.
Yeah, it was 5:14.
5:14, but the majority of them from 7:30 to, you know, I would say, like you said, that's peak time, but from 7:30 to 9:30, 70% of them are going to make it during that time frame, aren't they? And if they don't, yeah, you stay put, and then you're gonna get them. Well, let's talk about how. Now it's one thing to talk about staying out after dark and hunting hogs when you're sitting in a warm house or a cabin or an office. It's quite another thing to be out in the woods for 4, 5, 6 hours in the dark, in the cold. Now, you've solved that problem with your blinds, Larry.
Yeah, I've got some really nice 6x6 blinds that's all carpeted. You're inside. You keep the wind off from you, and you can stay pretty darn warm. You know, everybody that hunts has got clothes for wintertime hunting, the deer hunters and everything else. But I'll tell you, these blinds make about a 20-degree difference in the temperature.
Just from being enclosed, and I know if people have these little portable propane heaters, I know we use them from time to time, but a lot of times I won't use them. I don't know. Some people like them. I don't think they affect the hogs too much, but if you want to, you can put one of those in there, and it really knocks the chill out, doesn't it, you know?
Right, it really does, and they do work. The only thing, and this was a very, very hard lesson that I actually learned from you, I am not going to put anything in that blind that puts off any kind of an odor at all.
No.
Because I'm telling you, hogs can smell better than any animal I've ever hunted in my life.
And you've made a career. Well, I hunt elk and bear with you each year up in the Rockies. And yeah, it's hogs are. I mean, an elk compared to a hog is almost easy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm going to tell you, everybody thinks that, you know, well, let's go shoot a couple hogs tonight. Well, good luck with that.
Yes, yes.
Because I am telling you what, these are some of the smartest, toughest to hunt critters I have ever seen. And your greatest asset in hog hunting is scent control.
Your second
greatest is patience.
Patience, that's true. You know, just last week, Larry, I was down in the same area where you're guiding the hunts, close by down there, and I've got a spot set up, folks, not quite as elaborate as Larry's, but a little 4x4, actually a very comfortable blind. It's called a snap lock blind, You've seen it, Larry. 4x4 and four walls and a good roof.
Little blind.
It is. It's good for one person. But I had my snap lock blind set up, and I've got it on a 4x4 skid or a bake, a plywood base. Well, I've got it overlooking a light back there. And Larry, you've seen it with me many times, but it's overlooking I've got a feed light. It's called up in a tree, about 7 foot up in the tree, and it's got a 3-gang LED lights that you can move to point in different directions. So it puts out a nice white glow. The hogs get used to that immediately when there's corn. But I hand baked this place, and it's kind of the way a hog hunt actually unfolds. But I was there, Larry, and folks, I was sitting in this blind. I was about 25 yards from the feed light where the bait was. And I set it up so I could bow hunt, but I was after pork. I had a scope 270, to be honest with you. I didn't want to play around that night. It's cold. So anyway, there's a bunch of raccoons down there. One big old boar coon comes up, Larry. Gets right under that light, starts eating my corn. Occasionally, he'd set up on his haunches and look at me. You know, how look my direction. He didn't know I was back there, but he would look. And all of a sudden, I saw that coon drop down on all fours and just flash out of there. This was at 7 o'clock, 6:59 when that happened. The reason I know all this, my trail camera is looking at this spot. I've got it trained to watch this spot under the light, you know. Well, I pull that rifle up because I know something's up. It's not another coon that scared that coon off. And I put the rifle up on the window, and then I'm really, really quiet. Well, this was a boar. He was about a 170-pound boar, I would expect, Larry. And, he's one of these hogs that people say weighs 250. You saw the pictures and all.
Right.
But, you know, he's one of them that people describe as weighing 225, 250. But he would weigh an honest 170 pounds. But he come out, I never heard that hog coming, and he wasn't 25 yards. And the woods were still that night. But he stepped out, and I dropped the hammer on him quick because I was afraid he'd get my scent. The wind was blowing kind of real light, you know, but it was going toward the area he was in. Here's my point, Larry. That hog, a big boar, he was by himself. You can learn by the smell of a boar if it's going to make good eating or not. Now, people have laughed at me about that, but when I walked up to the hog, smelled just like a hog. There was no rank wild boar smell. And you've eaten some of that hog, Larry. I cut the chicken fried steaks, actually, from the back strap and the top round. As good, I've even tricked one of my buddies. He thought he was eating venison. He said it's some of the best venison he's ever eaten. So that's my point. I want everybody to know, just because it's a boar, it can be very good eating. But if that boar, Larry, had been with a sounder of hogs and actively breeding with sows and testosterone was all through his blood, he would probably have smelled rank and the meat would have been that way, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, but you probably wouldn't have shot him if he'd been with another group of hogs. You'd have picked out a nice young sow.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. But a lone boar like that, I've learned in my years of hunting hogs, very often is very, very good eating. It can be, you know.
Well, you know, that one I shot last year was a big old boar, somewhat equivalent in size. And when I seen it was a boar, I said, oh, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You said, now, just wait a minute. And you look like that guy off of one of them stupid shows that goes around sniffing people. But you went up there and you said, hey, I think this boar's going to be pretty good to eat. And I thought, well, I'll try anything once, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, it was real good.
It was good. I think the way you harvesting a hog, you know, it's like a butchered hog at the meat processor. You know, if you kill it quick. Now, that same hog, had he been run forever with dogs or a bad shot and he ran and you jumped him and had, you know, that's different. But if you kill one and butcher them promptly, you've got some really good eating. Larry, let's talk about lights at night, how you do your lights. You set yours up on solar panel, don't you?
Yeah, I've got what's called a kill light that goes, it attaches underneath the feeder. They're sitting about 10, 12 feet off the ground. They put out a green glow. Of course, the solar panel charges the battery every day. So they come on every single night at dark, stay on all night. The hogs are used to them. And if a person is archery hunting, they put out plenty of light, providing you have lighted pins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with a scope rifle or a shotgun with slugs, stuff like that, it's absolutely no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a lot of archery hunters that come out knowing they're going to hunt at night, but they don't have lighted pins. And night hunting with a bow, lighted pins are a must.
You've got to have it, Larry. I've made the mistake of being out there, and you've got to see your peep. That's an oversized peep is worth its weight in gold. We're talking about a peep sight on the string that served into the string on a bow. In years past, I've tried the little peeps that are great for target shooting and daylight shooting, but those little diameter peeps can really cause you some problems, you know, hunting at night, shooting hogs at night.
Even the last half hour of daylight, you know, with that small peep, it's hard to see. But like you said, with that oversized peep, it's real easy to find it.
That's true. I love to bow hunt, and I do bow hunt a lot during daylight. But I've started using, I love pork. And when I'm out there in this cold weather at night, I've got to where I'll either take my muzzle loader or a scope rifle and bang. And then I'm skinning a hog, you know.
I like the rifle hunters this time of the year just like you, you know. I don't want to, in 19-degree weather, go trailing a hog for 60 or 80 yards. And, you know, when you pop them behind the ear at 25 yards with a 270 or a 22-250, any 22-250 and bigger caliber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's laying right there.
Yes.
You can go take care of business immediately.
That's true. And it's important to think about the meat. This big boar I was by myself, I say big, he was big, 170 pounds, but I quartered that hog, and I'll go into this in another show sometime, Larry, and get you with me, but I made a cut from the top of his head to his tail and took the quarters and the back strap on half the animal, then turned him over and did the other. I hung the meat in a nearby tree with little pieces of nylon rope and kept everything clean, you know. So, but there's no way I could have got that hog out of there by myself. Absolutely no way. So sometimes you got to take care of business right there.
Yeah, you really do, because I'll tell you, people think, well, he only weighed 175 pounds. I'll take two big old boys out there, and if you have to drag a 175 pound hog with two big boys 50 to 100 yards, folks,
man,
you're going to be real tired.
That's true, Larry. Well, let's do this. Let's make sure that everybody can contact you. Folks, our guest is Guide Larry Large. Larry, you can talk to him about the private land elk hunts up in northern Colorado. You were telling me you're looking for, I think, three more hunters for September to go up there and hunt elk with a bow with you. From that to hunting hogs to ducks. So let everybody know how to contact you. How about it?
Okay, Luke, it's huntingeasttexas.com.
Now, what's the phone number where they can call you?
It's 970-819-3464.
Well, Larry, have a safe and happy new year. I hope everyone else does the same. And I'll get you back, Larry, before much longer, and we'll talk some more hunting. How about it?
All right, folks. Have a happy new year. Same to you, Luke.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.